There is a war on maleness going on in our society today. There is a shaming on maleness across the board in our culture. They've named it toxic masculinity. I'm guilty in all points. Toxic masculinity. How can you have toxic masculinity? I think you have toxic femininity, which are calling us some names. I went and looked some words up. Now, let me say this. Have an open mind to what I'm going to say today, because what I'm going to say today is absolutely concrete biblical truth. There's no wiggle room for what the Bible teaches on male roles and female roles. And there are no third type of people. It's just male and female according to the Word of God and really nature. I never saw a rooster lay an egg. I looked the word up. Feminine means lacking manly qualities. Effeminate. Now, it's great for women to be effeminate. It's great for them to lack male qualities, but it's a sin against God for men to be effeminate. You don't believe that? Just read Romans chapter 1. I mean, it'll tell you straight up. It uses that word even, effeminate. Or it means catamite or woman-like. Men are not supposed to be, you picked a good day to come, by the way. Men are not supposed to be woman-like. Yeah, oh yeah, let's say amen, man. This is your day. Next Sunday, you get nothing. Feminism is, according to Funk and Wagner Dictionary, is doctrine advocating the granting of the same social, political, and economic rights to women as one granted to men. And that doesn't sound so bad. But to feminize is to make one become feminine. And that is bad. The influence of women in our society is unquestionable. Since World War II, when women went to work, went into factories from the lack of men because they went to war. My mother went in a factory and worked in World War II. Women, the female position of women has morphed, and the male position also has morphed. You wouldn't have Kamala Harris running for president 50 years ago. And I hope we never have that again. But you wouldn't have Hillary Clinton or any woman running for the president of the United States just 50 years ago. In my lifetime, I'm 74. I was 24 years old. Wouldn't it would have been unheard of. That's how quickly this thing is changing and how it's morphing. As it's been said, as the world and society go, so goes the church. God forbid. God forbid. If pragmatically based, a church will follow the local culture and the cultural influences for success and harmony with its membership. They're getting their leadership, churches are, from the changing times of the culture. If they believe the Bible, however, and follow the Word of God, it'll continue to pull them away from the culture and back to God's what's righteousness, which is what's right and wrong. God tells us what's right and wrong in the Bible, in the Word of God. The mindset of the average member is shaped by all that they see, hear, and are taught through multiple medias and what they encounter. The pastor's influence is limited to about an hour a week now. They have eliminated Wednesday night. 90% of the churches in our area have eliminated Sunday school, Wednesday night. They have 1 hour service a week. That's it. It's eliminated almost to nothing what the preacher has to say or contribute to the local culture. Unless you're reading the Bible, you will be caught up in this and swept away with it. The new membership of these churches comes from converts who are saturated with feministic point of view and bring an active, carnal, feministic worldview as a normal view to the church. If the pastors of those churches or mature leaders of those churches have not based their worldview and man's role in biblical principles, changes take place from the pressures encountered by the new immature converts. Negative feedback behind the scenes multiplies like bacteria, creating a fever of change. I think it was Obama that ran for president on change. He didn't exactly say what he was changing, how he was changing it. He just said change. People were so hungry for change, even if it was in the wrong direction, that they voted for that guy. And he did, for 8 years, create some serious changes. Politicians create a touchy-feely environment, wokeism. Pastors survey their congregations in an effort to please and understand them. And let's face it, pastors want people. They do not want to drive people away. And so when they preach the Bible, when people leave because of that, because everything they hear otherwise is anti-biblical and culturally against the book, and people leave, it hurts the feelings of the local pastor that wants to do right, wants to see people saved, wants them to grow. So if this pastor is not biblically principled, based by the Holy Spirit, grounded in truth, many of those pastors cave into these cultural pressures, and that's called apostasy. And it's going on all over the world as well as the United States. True spiritual male leadership would not allow their feelings of acceptance to alter the telling of the truth. We have a sign as you leave that says, "We preach the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, so help us God." And you better, as a born-again believer, drive a stake down on believing the Bible and not all the propaganda, fake news, media that you are encountering day by day. And otherwise, you will be swept away yourself. So you can see here that more is at stake than just being macho and appearing macho, which is some people equate with being a man. However, a side point is the rise of homosexuality has been connected, I believe, with feminism, the rise of feminism. Without a doubt, biblically, I'm going to make some statements that I know to be biblically true, and I'll show you some verses. Without a doubt, biblically, it's a man's world. I can't sing like James Brown, but it is a man's world, whoever said it. It's a biblical truth. Man was created first, not women. Genesis 2:7. Man, in chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He made a woman to help him so he wouldn't be lonely. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, thou shalt not eat it, and the day ye eat of it, thou shalt surely die." I do not believe somehow Adam did a very good job at educating Eve on that point. Right off the bat, his leadership was challenged, and Adam failed. The woman, however, after the fall, was given additional desire toward the man, submission to and desire towards the man. We see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Under the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow." That was because she sinned. And in conception, "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." I've been at one birth of my son, and it was wild and crazy. "And thy desire shall be to thy husband," and listen, and this make a feminist hair stand up, "and he shall rule over thee." That's consistent with every place else in the Bible. Man was given leadership and authority when he was told to name the animals. Eve was not. Man was given physical superiority. Women were not. I used to say I never met a woman I didn't think I could whip, but I have since then met a few. But I'm telling you, I don't know why we got this issue even raised up about women in men's sports or men and women. I think the problem really is not women in men's sports. When women get in men's sports, they learn quickly that men have superior physical ability. But when men who say they're women get in women's sports, that's where the problem is, because they break records. Yeah. They win first place. Yeah. They outperform. A guy that's like 400th in the nation will play in a woman's sport and get first place. Well, it's just because it's true. Men have certain physiological differences. In fact, I heard a doctor say one time, there are 3,500 differences between a man and a woman, physically, genetically. The blood, everything. I mean, yes, we're many similar things, but we have many differences also. Man was given an inherent discernment for leadership and decision making. You can agree with that or not. But the women were not made to lead like men have been made. I get that from the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to look there, so give you a moment to find it. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. New Testament, Paul's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you believe John 3:16 to be true in the Word of God, you have to believe these words are just as credible. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's the reasoning of the Holy Spirit for that. For Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now just, I think this week, I heard an amazing thing. The Southern Baptist Convention had a yearly meeting and voted that no women could be allowed to preach or to teach in their churches over men, that women could not lead men in any function. It's pretty thorough what they went over, the whole Southern Baptist Convention. Now, when they did that, they said, I heard a little side note, they thought they would lose 30% of their churches. That's how infiltrated an anti-biblical understanding of this concept is. Amazing. And this is the basis, by the way, what we signed there in 1 Timothy for an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church like ourselves, because we simply want to follow the Bible, whether it's culturally accepted or culturally not accepted, whether it feels good or doesn't feel good. I've met women that are smarter than men. A lot of women are smarter than men. But doesn't make them qualified to do what men do. It's not an insult to a woman, but a recognition of her difference that God himself has made. Without a doubt, both biblical and secular history, it is a man's woman. I appreciate the fact you love it when I fail. It's a man's world. Man was made first. Here are some reasons. Man was made first. The genealogies in the Bible recognize primarily men by vast majority. Main characters of the Bible are men by vast majority. The priesthood in the Old Testament was totally male. Jesus himself was a man. The disciples that he chose and apostles are all male. Pastors, teachers, deacons in the Bible are to be all male. The 144,000that are chosen in the tribulation period out of each tribe, 12,000 out of each tribe are all male. The two witnesses that are chosen to be a testimony for Christ in the tribulation period are male. And you could go on and on and on. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Three men that are noted in the Old Testament. The head of every marriage is a man. There's no female to female marriages, and no male to male marriages. Abomination to God. That's what the book says. But the head of every marriage is a male. Would some man say amen loud enough so I can hear it? I mean, I'm worried you're going to rise up and throw me out of here. Well, anyway. 1 Corinthians, if you want to take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now think about that responsibility. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. Now this New Testament teaching, if you believe John 3:16, if you believe Ephesians 2:8-9, if you believe 1 John 5:10, 11, 12, 13, if you believe anything else in the Bible, you got to believe this to be true. Oh, I've heard women tell me, preacher, Paul, he had a thing against women and he let that influence his, then you don't believe the Bible's inspired. You don't believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, do you? Do you believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Well, if you do, then you accept this as truth, as fact. The head of every woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. And so you believe it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. There can only be one captain of a ship. There can only be one president of the United States. There can only be one leadership is by its nature singular. In every area of the military, in every, you have, the leader is the leader of that group. I had a woman come to me a while back and say, I'd like you to marry my husband and I. So we started some counseling and marriage counseling. And she said, well, I believe a marriage ought to be 50-50. And I said, well, I can't marry you. That's not a Bible thing. She said, what do you mean? I showed her some scripture. And she says, well, I guess you can't marry us. I didn't. And by the way, it didn't last. So why say all this? Let me give some application. Men, you should assume your God-given position and role as a leader. The New Testament church needs you. We need men to be men. Men who will be men, spiritual men. Men will lead in spite of resistances and criticisms. Men who will read their Bible and lead their whole family to read the Bible. Men who will be under and in authority. Men who will initiate. Men who will initiate righteousness. Men who on Sunday morning, if the women don't want to come to church, you'll get up, feed, dress, and take all the kids to church without her. Amen! My dad did that. My mom didn't want to go to church, didn't have anything to do with church, didn't like it, thought maybe it was a cult, didn't know what was what, so she wouldn't go. My dad said, I believe we need to go. He got up. We had three beautiful boys. Had three boys and got us three. It wasn't easy. Three boys getting them ready to go. He got us ready to go, and down the street about three blocks was the Independent Fundamental Bible Believing Church. Oh, hellfire, damnation, window rattling, shingle pulling, King James Bible Church. And he took us there for three Sundays without her going. Finally, he asked the preacher to come over to the house. He came over to the house. Harold Hofflinger. Man, I can't believe I dug that out. You know, I can remember old stuff, but the new stuff's tough. Harold Hofflinger. He came out and gave him the gospel, and my mom and dad knelt down beside the sofa in their room, in the living room, and asked Jesus to save them. Churches all across America are being led and populated by women. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention thought it necessary to do a vote. and make it clear that they believed what the Bible said. Many of those churches, when you walk in, they smell like perfume. By the way, 90% of those churches are what they call independent or Pentecostal churches. Changing. And the reason that that happened and the reason that women took leadership is because of a bunch of half-hearted, wimpy, weak-willed, frilly, girly men who would not step up to the plate and declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What we are seeing because of the growth and infiltration of feminism, homosexuality blooming. There's reasons why homosexuality is blooming. Men becoming women-like, women becoming men-like. What is that? Transgenderism. Why, as a kid, I never even heard of transgenderism. And now they're demanding their rights and telling them they've got a right to do these things. And June, Gay Pride Month? They have a month that was dedicated to them. Divorce is rampant. Living together is growing. Single parent homes are growing. Immorality, pedophiles, venereal disease, AIDS are growing. It's sad to see a society go down, but that's what we're seeing. I could take time to give you all the facts, statistics of this, but I don't think you need them. I think you see it yourself. The preachers across America that believe the Bible need to be men, they need to be males, they need to be masculine. Men are attracted to male things. Here's some of them. By the way, my dad taught me to be a man. How did he do that? Not only did he teach me, but he showed me. More is caught than taught sometimes. My dad taught me to be a man. He wanted me to be rough and tough, not to cry over every time I got hurt. He would say, "Get up, brush off, and take it." He showed me how to be a man. He hunted, he fished, he water skied, he labored hard physical work that women could not do. He walked, he sat, he stood, he laughed like a man. He lifted weights, punched a speed bag, showed me his muscles once in a while that the typical woman could not do. He did not allow me to spend much time with my mother. Now, this is big. Once I reached about 10 years old, I was his. He took over. He said, "Lorraine, you've done a good job, but he's mine from here out." Why did he do that? He didn't want her influence, feminine. She couldn't help being a woman. And nothing wrong with being a woman, but if she was around me all the time, she would have me do the things she was doing. You know, girly stuff. He knew better than that. It was common sense. He wanted to make me a man. He wanted to show me what a man was. He wanted to teach me what men do. I'm not talking about being crude or rude or feelingless or a monster. That's the carnal side of maleness that the Bible rejects and I reject. My dad would cry. He felt sorry when things go bad, demonstrated compassion, helped those in need, demonstrated affection and love. He was a Marine that was a fourth wave on Saipan, the first wave on Tinian, and helped take the island of Okinawa. He was a man's man. While men communicate differently than women, our expressions oftentimes are offensive to women. I'm sorry to say that, but it is. Women have a language of their own. And the men said, I wrote a 500-page book on how I know women, what I know about women. All the pages are blank. Men should talk about going to Bass Pro, not to Dillard's. Men should talk about their NRA Life memberships, not their Philharmonic memberships. Oh, I got you on that one. Be careful about playing that violin too much. Don't say, I went out to extinguish the life force of a local mammal this weekend. Just say, I killed a deer. And after I killed it, I gutted it. It's just what men do. We're hunters, foragers, providers. Sometimes, I hate to say this, I come up with statements I just simply know will offend feminists and controlling women. God forbid upside down homes. Amen. I've seen too many of them. Woman, let your husband lead, even if he's a bad leader. Make him do what God told him he had to do, which was lead the house. You sit back and let him fail if that's the way he is. Just let him fail. Let him flop. I had a woman sitting in my office crying her eyes out, telling me her husband was horrible with finances and he couldn't manage anything. He'd gone bankrupt twice and she wanted to leave. I said, look, woman, just get in the roller coaster and when you go down, just throw your arms up and scream all the way down. He's the head, designated by God Almighty. Let him be the head. Don't fight him. Preacher, show your people you're a man. Don't wear pink. I knew you'd love that one. I specifically don't wear pink because it's associated with girly men. Now, you people in pink today, I did not know you were going to come that way, and I'm not picking on you, and I'm just tongue in cheek here, okay? Do things that are male oriented. Once in a while, get out of a suit and tie. Get out in the dirt. Wear some rough clothes. Do some dirty work. Get sweaty. It's not a sin. Buy some guns. Talk about them. That's right. Do some male-oriented things. I bought a motorcycle a few years when I was 50, I think. I bought a motorcycle. Started a Gospel Writers Motorcycle Club. Once in a while, I show my muscles off. I do that this morning. I'm afraid about ripping my coat. I mean, we can have fun with this. But emphasize, if you're a born-again Christian male, real men are soul winners. Oh, real men are bus captains. Real men read the Bible through every year. Real men want to go door to door and share the gospel. Real men pray for God's power in their lives. There was a guy here, Brent Williamson. How many remember Brent Williamson, a big old Harley-Davidson owner? I went over to visit. The wildest visit I ever had in my life was when I visited, well, I can't remember who was with me, but went visiting his house. And he had a big screen. That was before big screen TVs were popular, but he had this big screen TV, and it was like this. And I'm telling you, the screen TV was about 5 feet from the sofa. And I was sitting on the sofa, and he was sitting over beside the TV, and he had the football cheerleaders on there. I'm a male. I couldn't do that. I can't. I told him, we got to get out of here. I can't be that close to these girls. So he says, well, let me show you my motorcycle. He took me to an air-conditioned garage, humidity control, where his Harley-Davidson motorcycle was. Now, Brett was a big old boy, 325, 30 pounds, muscly, big old guy, long hair, ponytail. and tattoos, just like you'd picture a Harley Davidson guy. And I thought to myself, what chance do we have of this guy ever becoming a Christian? I mean, he is all the way in the world. And so I went out there and looked at his bike and I said, man, I really like the motorcycle. I got one myself. He said, you do? And I said, yeah, I want you to come to church. He said, I don't go to church. I said, why don't you go to church? He says, hypocrites go to church. I said, well, join the crowd. I said, why don't you come to the church? Okay, I'll come. He sat right back there where Brother Charlie is, that chair right there. He came back and sat far back as he could sit in service. He felt out of place and uncomfortable, like he didn't belong. I don't know, I did something crazy that day. I said, I don't even know why I said this right now in context, but I said, I'm a hunter. I hunt. Some people in the church may not believe in hunting, may not believe in killing animals. And if you do, there's a lot of other churches you can go to where the preacher doesn't hunt. And here's what he told me. He said, preacher, when I heard you say that, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. Now, how in the world would that get a guy? I would have never said that, nor was must have been the Holy Spirit led it. And he came week after week, eventually got saved, trusted Christ, got into the bus ministry, became a bus captain, cut his hair down to where he looked like he was more and more manlike, and I'm not trying to beat you up on any of that, but I want to look like a man. I want to walk like a man. I want to talk like a man. I think there's a song about that. After sitting there in the back row year after year after year, helping our church grow, may I say this? If you're a male, if you're a biblical male, feminists should hate you. Upside down women should hate you. Controlling women should hate you. Not because you did things wrong, not because you were crude, rude, and totally unacceptable, but because the feminism is diametrically opposed to the spirit of a biblical male. And it clashes. I've had women come into this church visiting that were that way. I didn't have anything against them. I want them to get saved, live for Jesus, do right. And they only came one Sunday. And they said, I couldn't stand that preacher. I have one or two feelings left. That hurt one of them. Listen, remember this. Remember this. The first man lost his kingdom through a woman. That was Adam. The strongest man that ever lived had his eyes put out and lost his life through a woman. That was Samson. The wisest man that ever lived apostatized through a woman. That was Solomon. The greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth lost his head because of a woman. That was John the Baptist. The man after God's own heart compromised through a woman and sinned against God and committed murder. That was King David. A boy was sold in slavery by his brothers and falsely jailed because of a woman. And that was Joseph. The king of Israel was incited to do greater evil than he would have done due to a woman. That was Ahab. So if it doesn't teach you anything, men, it should teach you beware of women. As a born-again believer, God wants you to have one woman for life. Fight it out. Argue it out. Do whatever you got to do, but stay together. For 55 years, my wife and I have cohabitated and been married together. Out of that 55 years, we've had 45 years of marital bliss. I've been a jerk sometimes. I've been a fool sometimes. I've been ridiculous sometimes. But she didn't leave me. She didn't give up on me. She prayed for me. She submitted to me. And let me tell you this, a woman that will submit to her husband, he'll do anything for her. He'll go out and work his fingers to the bone. He'll get out in a sweaty 95-degree, 100% humidity day after day after day if he can come home and have a woman that would love him, a woman that will submit to him, a woman that's a team player, a woman that wants to make him successful. And in his success is her success. In his prosperity is her prosperity. But whatever you like or whatever you don't like, it's a man's world. We're the leaders, and the mess this world's in knows we haven't done a very good job as a species. But by the grace of God, he's chosen us that are born again in this room. As you accepted the gospel as your Savior and you accepted Christ, lead. Lead for Jesus. Sunday night when church meets, say, woman, we're going to church. She said, I don't feel like, okay, you can stay home, but I'm going to church. We got company coming over to the house this week. I'm glad they're coming over, but I'm going to church on Sunday. Well, I haven't seen these people in a long time. Good, you fellowship with them at church. We got free donuts and coffee. Lead your home. I'm going to ask you something this morning. If you're willing to lead your home for Jesus, I want you to come up front here and have a dedication prayer with me. We'll have a dedication prayer now. If you don't come, don't feel bad about it. But if you want to make it something you want to nail down, why don't you, as we did, we had the girls come forward, said they'd pray for their kids a couple weeks ago.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com. Or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.